We're reading from two different places this morning, starting in Colossians in chapter 3. We start with verse 17. Whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him. And then from verse 23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. And now we go right to the start of the Bible, into Genesis chapter 2. And we read from verse 4. This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created, when the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Now no shrub had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no one to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river watering the garden flowed from Eden. From there it was separated into four headwaters. The name of the first is the Pishon. It winds through the entire land of Havilah, where there is gold. The gold of that land is good. Aromatic resin and onyx are also there. The name of the second river is the Gihon. It winds through the entire land of Cush. The name of the third river is the Tigris. It runs along the east side of Ashur. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and take care of it. This is the word of the Lord.
So last week we were looking at the theme of faith at home. And this week, this morning and this evening, we're looking at the theme of faith at work.
Well, we're talking about faith this morning. And faith is a common word, in actual fact. We think of it in a spiritual term, but we all have faith. For instance, Emily, you have faith that Tim is going to get you a hammock, haven't you? I think it's misguided, but you've got faith. Every time we go on a bus, we have faith that the driver's going to take us where we want to. And then we get on in a train, on a plane. And in our car, depends how new our car is as to whether we have faith that's going to get us there or not. But faith is a common thing, right? But we're talking about virtual faith and Christian faith. And whereas ordinary faith, you can liken it to trust. Faith and trust are very, very similar words. But my feeling is that trust, you're not quite 100% sure that it's going to happen, but you have trust that it will. But faith, spiritual faith, no doubt about it. We believe in what our faith gives us, don't we? We absolutely believe. And that's the importance of spiritual faith. And we're going to look at the definition of faith. But first of all, let's just look at what Jesus said about faith. Just three quick points on what Jesus said about faith. First of all, the centurion. Do you remember the story that Jesus was asked to go and heal the servant of the centurion? And he was going along, and the centurion sent another message saying, "Master, don't come to my house, I'm not worthy. Just say the word, My servant will be healed. I am a man under authority. He said, I have soldiers and servants. And if I say to one servant, do this, he does it. If I say to another servant, do this, he'll do it. Just say the word, Jesus, and he'll be healed. And Jesus turned to the crowd that was with him and said, I have not found such great faith in all of Israel as this man. He had faith. He had the authority in himself to do things, and he recognized the authority of Jesus. Then we're given the gift of faith, aren't we? Corinthians 12 tells us about the gift of faith that God gives us. And then the mustard seed. Do you remember the story of the mustard seed? Jesus had been up on the mountain with Peter, James and John, and in Matthew he came down. And some man came up to him and he said, will you heal my son, please? I've asked your disciples, but they couldn't do it. So will you please heal him? And the father said that he's got a demon and they keep throwing him in the fire, throwing him in water, hurting himself, and he has fits and all that. Please heal him. And Jesus just told the demon to come out and he healed him. And the disciples afterwards, they said to him, why couldn't we do it? And he said, Oh, you have little faith. If you had the faith of a mustard seed, that's all you need to do God's work. Faith of the mustard seed. And verse 21 of that chapter says that this kind comes forth but for prayer and fasting. Now, does that mean to say when you get a difficult situation and you're asked to pray for someone, they're badly ill, perhaps dying, or perhaps got an evil spirit or something like that, you go off and you pray for 2 or 3 days and then you come back and deal with it? No. He says, and I think he says, an attitude of prayer and fasting. An attitude. In fact, our life is committed to Jesus in such a way that we're in that position where God can move through us and things can happen because of the way we're living. Let's look at Hebrews 11 verse 1. It says, now faith is the assurance of things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of the reality. Faith perceived as real fact, what is not revealed in the senses. Who understands that? Anyone? I don't. It's too complicated for me. So I'll give you something else. Faith is taking as fact what we cannot prove. And that's a gift of God, to have faith like that, isn't it? It's a gift of God that we surely will know what the situation is. Now, this morning, we're looking at faith at work. Before we look at faith at work, we've really got to understand what faith we've got. And what is our faith? Well, our faith is the working out of Jesus in us. Our faith is the acceptance that Jesus Christ died for us. The acceptance that we have done things wrong. The acceptance that we are forgiven because of Jesus. Hallelujah. He paid the price for our sins. We've changed our direction. We were bound for hell, we're now bound for heaven. Hallelujah. And that's a big assurance when you face death from time to time, to know where you're going and have the assurance that I'm going to be with Jesus. Hallelujah. We have a problem with our sinful nature. We are born with it. It came from the fact that Adam and Eve sinned, and whereas everything was perfect up to that point, Satan got in. And so our sinful nature, sexual immorality, impurity, idolatry, witchcraft, obscenity, greed, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, envy, drunkenness, conceited, envying, foolish talk, coarse joking, and the like. Do you know what? That's been crucified. That's the flavour of our old nature. There's other things as well, obviously. But that's been crucified with Jesus. And as Steve was saying last week, it's like we've changed our wardrobe. We've put on new clothes. And those old clothes, we've put in a black sack and got rid of them. But you know the problem? Some of us have put a few of those old clothes in a bag under our bed, our favourite ones, and we keep pulling them out. What I like to say is that we keep giving the kiss of life to our old nature and falling back into it. And with God's help, we don't have to, because what we have got now is a new spiritual life, a new spiritual nature. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Are we living in that? Are we showing that out? Remember, our old nature is crucified. Stop giving it the kiss of life. Stop getting under the bed and pulling out the old clothes. Put on your new clothes and live in them. Easier said than done. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, quite possible. What is our old nature like? We don't want it. When they a marriage service yesterday, they were comparing love and how people should love and the spiritual way of loving, and actually also the spiritual way of living. Now, when you go to work, does being a Christian make a difference to you? When you go into work, do people think you're the same as everyone else? Do you notice one of the things in the old nature that's actually spoken of in the is coarse joking? How many people get caught up in coarse joking? It's a problem it's been a problem for 2,000 years anyway, if not a lot longer. And it's still a problem in workplaces when people get together. It's not long before someone comes up with a coarse joke. Do you laugh at that? Or do you show that you're not happy with it? It's difficult, and sometimes it's so funny you can't help but laugh. But most of the time, I think we should make a stand. The same with swearing. Do people know that you don't like swearing? Do they just readily swear in front of you? It's not easy. It's not easy to stand out for what's right. But we do have the courage. We do have the faith in Jesus. We do have the strength by the power of the Holy Spirit to make a difference at work. What about truthfulness? Are you known as being true? I tell you, once at work, by being known as truthful, someone accused me of lying, and the director wanted to sack me. But another director said, "Well, who is this person that's lied that you're going to attack?" And they said, "It's David Klein." They just laughed. He wouldn't tell a lie to save his life. And I wasn't sacked. So that's a good opportunity there. But normally it gets us into trouble. But we've got to accept that. We are different. We're not different in a nasty way, but we are different in a different way. We just should show a flavour of love, a flavour of what's right. Are you known for doing what's right? If someone at work wants to do something immoral or illegal or borderline, do you stand out against it? As financial director, I've had to stand out against things. And it's known that I will. And we need to just have a bit of love in us to just accept other people as they are, but then get them to accept us as we are. God is good. And that's what we've got to remember. God is good all the time. And he will help us. He will help us to stand out. He will help us to do that which is right. He will help us to have that right influence. When you start a new job, do you say you're a Christian? A lot of Christians do, and great, that's what we should do. Some Christians don't, and they leave it for 6 months, and then they try to bring out that they're a Christian. They have difficulties, because people accept you when they first meet you as to what you are. And if you're a Christian, they accept that. But if you hide it for 6 months, you'll find it very difficult to really stand out as a Christian. Okay? Whatever we do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. For it is the Lord Jesus Christ you are serving. When we go to work, whether we are an employee or whether we are a boss, we have responsibilities. And we need to be considerate to the people that we're with. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to stop. Let me just say one thing. With God, all things are possible. And I came in faith this morning that I would be able to speak. I've given most of my message, praise the Lord. But this last slide is so important. Now that's faith.
One of the reasons why I asked David to speak this morning was that over this last 6 years, coming to be the vicar of this church, David has kindly offered to kind of pray for me from time to time, talk together. I've been able to go to him and share things that are on my heart. David, I have so appreciated the way in which you've supported me, prayed for me, encouraged me, and in sharing your spiritual experiences have really helped me to grow as a leader. But in the midst of all of that, David has told me time and time and time again of how God has been at work in his life at work. And David, I know that you've held some very senior positions as a financial director. You've been involved traveling all over the world. What was so powerfully evident to me was that every day David went to work, he went with the same faith and conviction and trust in God as when he stood up to preach as a pastor and to lead a church. Because that faith that was at the rock of his life came out everywhere he went. And now, David, I know that strictly speaking, I guess you're in retirement. And yet your faith, what God has done in you, is still coming out, still blessing other people. And for that, we thank God and we thank you. And I just want you to consider this verse now and just to hold before the Lord the week that's ahead of you, whether it's paid work or voluntary work or work at home, work alongside other people. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. It's the Lord Jesus Christ you're serving. I'd like to invite the band to come up, and we're going to sing Light of the World, You Step Down Into Darkness. And of course, everywhere we go, we find the darkness and we find the kind of things that David's been talking about in the old nature. And we want God's help, don't we, to shine as bright lights in all of that. So can I invite us to stand? Let's rejoice that Jesus has stepped down into the darkness. Let's worship him. And let's offer ourselves afresh to him to use us in the world in the week that's ahead. Thank you, Phil.